This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Our guests are Dave Rupert, dairy farmer in Nokomis, and Joyce Vickery of the Dairy Council. And you live in Springfield, is that correct, Joyce?
I live in Springfield. I work for the St. Louis District Dairy Council, and we have an area office in Springfield and also one in Bloomington.
Good. And so your area covers, like, literally all of Illinois, mid-Illinois, south, and St. Louis area.
I cover about 34 counties in Illinois.
Wow, so that's a big area.
Today I'm heading down to Washington County, Nashville, Illinois, to be talking to a group of teachers.
So. Well, that's dairy country too, isn't it down there?
It is also.
Okay, that brings a good question. How many dairy farms are there in our area, Montgomery, Macoupin, Bond County? How many we got left?
Well, Montgomery County, we're down to 5 dairy farms. Christian County, there's none. Macoupin County has 2 or 3. That's all that's left. So we're getting to be a real minority. And one of the problems is just there's not enough economics there to continue. We're subject, you know, to the milk price being set by so many things, exports, the weather has effect on us, these government programs have an effect. Getting back to less consumption of milk, well, one of the big users of milk is breakfast with cereal. And cereal purchases are way down, so you know that means that they're not putting milk on that cereal.
Right.
So that's the big challenge right now is just, like most things, is economics on the farm. And the time and investment that we have to put into the farm, like, I'm 70 years old now, and I'm still getting up at 4 o'clock, going till 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. And then we got to have somebody to continue on, and I'm fortunate that my youngest daughter and her husband are wanting to continue on, so hopefully we'll still have a dairy farm for a few years anyway.
Well, let's say we all hope so, too, you know, but, if they're going out like that.
But a lot of places that doesn't happen because the children, you know, they go off to college, which all our kids did, and they get a position, and they can't afford to come back, really.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to talk a bit about just the process of getting that milk from the cow into that carton or that jug, you know, in the dairy case at the grocery store. What all do you go through? Okay. How does it happen?
Well, of course, we milk twice a day. Some farms are milking 3 times a day. And it's really the milk, and this is something a lot of people don't realize, it's never touched by human hand. We put the milkers on. It goes through sanitized lines and so forth into a receiving jar, and then it's got a pump that kicks it into the holding tank or what we call the bulk tank. And every other day, the milkman comes with his stainless steel semi-truck and picks it up through hoses again, so it's never, milk is never exposed even to air, really. And he gets to, our milk goes to Carlinville, to Prairie Farms, he backs up his tanker to a large receiving tank, and the same way, the hoses are hooked up and it goes into there. And of course, on the farm, we are very careful that the milk stays clean, free from antibiotics, and this is something that's really important. All the milk is checked probably at least 4 times before it ever gets into, even into the process of going to a carton. On the farm, if we do use any antibiotics, we have testers right on the farm where we test the milk to see if it's clean before it goes into the bulk tank. When the milkman comes, he takes another sample. When he gets to the dairy, that sample is checked before the milk truck is even unloaded. And then before it goes into the carton, everything is checked again for bacteria, antibiotics, and there's what we call a PI count, which is an indication of how long it will stay in that carton on the shelf at the store. And Prairie Farms, we're very proud of the fact that most of our milk will be fresh for 21 to 24 days, above most of the average. We pride ourselves on that quality. But not only that, unlike most farms, we have federal inspections, we have state inspections. We're unannounced. Inspectors come into our facilities just like they do a restaurant, check for cleanliness, see that we got everything up to specs. And like just last week, we had inspector come. He took a sample of our water. The water has to meet purity just like the city water does. It's as safe as it can be. Consumer doesn't have to worry about anything contaminating the milk.
I think one of the greatest things about food production in the United States, certainly dairy involved, included in that, the milk doesn't come from China or Australia or someplace like that. It's close. The drink, the milk that we drink is very local, you know,
right.
And thanks to Prairie Farms for that, I gotta say.
Right, not only from Dave, but also, as you mentioned, Prairie Farms is not too far away from here.
So. No.
Milk is local.
Prairie Farms has 20-some plants that produce milk around the Midwest here. So milk is not only produced locally that you drink, but it's, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Processed.
It's processed locally.
Right.
So the chain is so tightly watched and it's so close together that it's just perfect. Mm-hmm. It really is. The last thing that I wanted to touch on, what do you see in the future? I know you talked about it's so easy to go to college and then get a position somewhere else and not come back. But without romanticizing it, we have to have dairy farms. We got to have it.
Yeah, we certainly hope so. Anyway, it looks like it's following a lot of the other agriculture, the swine industry, the poultry industry, where the farms are just getting larger. We basically have still family farms, family owned, but we have a lot more outside people work doing the actual labor. That is probably going to be the biggest changes, and that's why it hasn't grown here in this area. First of all, most of us, you're limited with water. You know, you start talking about 1,000, 2,000 cows, 50 gallon of water just to drink a day, takes a lot of water. And so in this area, that's been a limiting thing. We do have an advantage with a great grain supply for feed. The future, I mean, it's there, and the families are adopting that really can stay into it, the ones that have the resources of land and so forth. So we'll have a good supply of milk.
The technology is allowing you to at least have enough labor, even though there's not as many, because you don't have to have as many. I won't say hands-on because no hands touch it, but you don't have to have as many people involved.
And this is why there's one at Greenville. There's a couple down now by Oakville, and they're going in fast, the robot milkers. So you don't have to have somebody in the morning and the evening or three times a day come in and actually stand there and get the cows in and out and milk them. It's, like you said, technology. The computer and the robot, if there's a problem, it warns the owner or the herd manager, and then he goes and checks it out. So, and even the last magazine, they had a complete robotic feeding system. Of course, this all takes extra money, and that's why the herds are bigger, so you can spread your cost over per cow cost. But, yeah, there's ways that they're working with the labor situation.
I sure want to thank you both for being part of our Dairy Week here at WSMI, because we've certainly put together this series of shows this week. I hope that June being Dairy Month, and I hope that your opportunity to get the word out, I hope we've done our part to let people know what's going on and the challenges and the joys, so to speak, for what you do. Thanks, Dave Rupert. Thanks, Joyce Fickrey, for being our guest this week.